Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 72, and I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan. Hello! And with me, I have the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
And also joining us again is the fangirl, Victoria.
Hi! I like that you forgot your brother's nickname for a second, though.
I almost feel like I forgot everybody's. I haven't eaten yet today. So, I'm just, like, famished, and I'm going to try to get through this recording without passing out. Yay! So this episode, we actually have a topic that we're going to talk about that was suggested to us from a fan a while ago. Fan Mike has suggested to us that he wants to hear about our experiences with characters that go through evolution over time in a series. Either that, we could also talk about time jumps and how characters change over time jumps, and, you know, there's a lot of really great examples that we can go over, and there's also some examples that we can go over that doesn't happen. Does that create for bad stories? Not necessarily. You know, we'll get into it a little bit later.
And we're going to try not to spoil anything.
Yeah, good luck with that one. We'll try to put a spoiler warning in front of everything, but it's not like you can skip it because it's like, how far do I go? Yeah. It seems like we always have that kind of problem.
I guess.
Anyways, we got some news to start with, so let's ring the news bell.
News.
And we have pretty much 100% of our news is from fans.
Again.
I mean, you guys are pretty much our news consultants now. We don't even have to do that work anymore.
Yeah, you did
the job for them.
Yay! We like our fans.
We do. They make our job easier. Okay, so what do we have first? Andrew's leading the charge because he usually does. He collects all the fan service, and I usually collect the news. But I didn't do my job, because all you guys did, and I'm lazy. So Andrew is going to do both fan service and news today.
Well, first we'll kick off with this. This one was sent over to us by Gerardo. He sent us the Japanese dub cast for Ruby. Ruby is being released over in Japan.
Interesting. We usually do the opposite whenever this comes up.
Yeah, but the Japanese dub cast was released. I'm not familiar with the characters from Ruby.
I am.
And not necessarily character with, you know, all the people from Japan either, but hey, let's give it a shot. So,
I don't know the show.
Yeah, so
it's a good show. It's pretty good.
It is. It's really cool. I plan on watching more of it. It's all on Crunchyroll, so I might as well.
I kind of fell off of it after season two, I think. But even still, it's good regardless.
Starting off, I'm just going to do the list in order. I don't know the importance of the characters or where they're leveled at in the series, so I'm just going to do it how Tumblr sent it to me. So first we have Penny.
She's a character who joins the show in season two. She's a robot. She doesn't know her place in life, but Ruby befriends her and wants to kind of like bring her along as like in this human world, and she's like a weapon and all that junk.
Okay, so Penny's played by Megumi Han, who is known for roles like Gon from Hunter x Hunter. And Obito from Naruto Shippuden.
That's interesting because she plays male characters.
Well, she has female roles.
She does, but I mean, she plays younger
male characters. She's known for the male one.
Yeah, she has like that kind of voice. And then next up we have Kazuhiko Inu, who will be playing Ozpin.
And Ozpin is the school that they all go to. They hunt monsters in a sense, and like he's the headmaster.
Famous for his voice role as Kakashi from Naruto.
Oh, hey. So that's what I know.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. One of my personal favorites on this list is he plays Mikado from Ranma ⅓.
That's a really old role.
Yeah, well, he's an older guy.
Well, he also plays Goto from Parasite, which was pretty cool.
Next up, we have Shinichiro Miki, who will be playing Roman, who I actually know Roman.
Yeah, he's the main bad guy.
Yeah. Who plays Urahara in Bleach, Roy Mustang in Full Metal Alchemist.
Yay!
and, of course, Miki Sugi in Kill la Kill.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Nudist Beach.
Nudist Beach.
Okay, what?
yeah. Juan Arc, who will be played by Hiro Shimono.
That's, yeah, Juan Arc is the nerd guy that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Main male character.
Yep. And so, most famously, we know him as Connie from Attack on Titan. I believe, and then he also has...
I actually think his name is Juane.
Juane? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
It's spelt weird.
And he also plays Oba from Durarara, so a lot of people will know that.
That never sounds like it's pronounced correctly.
Wait a minute.
Which one?
Is his name June? It's spelt so weird. J-A-U-N-E.
Yeah.
Junie?
I don't know. It's fine. I don't care. Ruby fans, you can...
Gerardo, help us!
Yeah. You guys know what we're talking about. You guys, I don't care. Get angry, whatever. And
he
then
cares.
We have...
I ain't even mad.
And then we have Aya Suzuki, who will be playing Nora.
She's cute. She's like this little petite girl who wields her weapon as like a warhammer.
Who, Nora?
Yeah.
Or Aya Suzuki.
Nora's.
So she is, absolutely known for playing Mako from Kill la Kill.
Yeah, she's basically the same character. Like, seriously, Nora in Ruby is pretty much Mako.
Mm-hmm. Also can play plays Kaede from Assassination Classroom, and Proxy from, which is a fairy, from Hyrule Warriors, which is interesting.
Huh.
And we have yet another Megumi Toyoguchi.
Oof. That was a hard one.
And not even really, but...
We're so good at this, guys.
playing Pyrrha in Ruby, who plays Winry in Full Metal Alchemist.
What?
Yeah. surprising cast, she plays Rosie from Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh.
Which is lovely, because...
My favorite.
Yeah, because Valkyria Chronicles is one of the...
Rosie is not my favorite. Valkyria Chronicles is my favorite.
So, but that's kind of like a treat for us, not necessarily for you guys, but... If you haven't played Valkyria Chronicles, you owe yourself a favor. And finally here on the list, we have Soma Saito, who will be playing Lee. Soma is famous for playing Tatsumi in Akame ga Kill, Hermes in Danmachi.
Okay, so the best way to describe Lee, do you know Alice and Alice's assistant, the guy with the black eyeliner in Food Wars?
Yes.
Okay, so Nora... is the part of Alice, and Lee is the part of the guy with the black eyeliner. That is their actual symmetry in Ruby.
Interesting.
And then you see that parallel in Food Wars, you know, as the same character. Like if you watch Food Wars and you know those two characters, that's what Nora and Lee are in Ruby.
And finally, we have the main cast that everybody is pretty much looking out for. We have...
this was announced a while ago, I'm pretty sure.
Probably. Saori Hayami, who will be playing Ruby. And she's most famous for Sachi. Oh, I know. Okay.
Sachi and Sword Art Online, but also Kagura from Fairy Tail.
See, now, there's a more famous role that she played, and that is Kirino from... freaking Oriimo. I mean, I guess that's more famous or more recognizable for me, but I'm surprised she's not on this list of other characters that she's played.
I mean, well, Oriimo's pretty popular.
Yoko Hikasa will be playing Weiss, and Weiss is famous for Mio from K-On!
Freya from Danmachi, she's the main villain. She doesn't show up that much, but...
I mean, but she does speak.
Yeah, but she does indeed speak. If there's a season 2, I'm sure that there's going to be way more of her.
And then we have Yu Shimomura, who will be playing Blake. And, hey, she plays Annie from Attack on Titan.
Waifu.
And that is exciting. You know, she's my waifu, I'll play you! Even though Mikasa's my waifu, Annie's my other waifu.
Okay, guys.
And, oddly enough, she plays Fee from Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is weird because it's a bunch of gibberish.
Yeah, basically you hear her go, eh?
Yeah.
Finally, and, Yang.
Yep, Yang, who will be played by Ami Koshimizu. Hey, that's Ryuko from Kill la Kill.
It's pretty much a perfect match.
Yay.
So that's the whole cast. That took way too long.
Yeah, please cut that down.
I will most certainly cut it down.
For people who care. Next up in media news.
So get this. You know how we usually, we had this string for a while where we talked about stuff exploding in China? Well, do you, this is actually media news because it's pretty serious. Do you remember seeing the Facebook exploding with the news about the Chinese chemical plant?
Yes.
Exploding?
Nope.
Like,
no? Really?
There were videos.
I work every day.
There were videos.
So? I do too.
All over the internet.
Do you work till 3 in the morning?
There were like 15 million Chinese citizens who lost their homes in this explosion. If you've seen the video for it, the explosion is huge. Like, oh my gosh. It was like an unbelievable video. There were people fleeing from their houses who were even miles away that... It just destroyed everything. The pictures of the aftermath was just like in a Mad Max video. Like, holy crap. It was unbelievable
terrifying.
What the devastation was. I mean, I hope everybody's okay. I know that there was reported missings. There was firefighters who are still missing at the time. There hasn't been a lot of coverage since then. I mean, I know this happened a while ago, probably directly after a recording happened, but that was big in the news. And then I actually have another one. This one I put in media news, although technically it's a good spot for gaming news as well. I don't know if we want to transition after this. Yeah. But there was this article that I saw about Nintendo, who is a English locationalizer. So he takes the Japanese properties and advertisements and stuff like that from Japan, and he translates them into English so that they translate well and everything like that. Chris Pranger, who's worked for Nintendo for years... He was fired from his job for going on to a small-time podcast. So he went on to this podcast show to talk about, you know, what he does at Nintendo and everything like that. And I guess Nintendo's NDA is so strict in the contract that even though he didn't talk about anything recent or something that hasn't been unveiled at Nintendo, he still lost his job. Yeah. And just the fact that anybody from Nintendo was on a podcast whatsoever, he talked on that, the podcast exploded all over the internet because it's like, oh my gosh, somebody from Nintendo's on a podcast. Although it was so small time, it was getting attention from all over the place. Even like across the world in other countries, there were people listening to this podcast. Now the article, there was a follow-up article interviewing him about what happened, and he said... that as soon as he found out that the podcast was getting attention, he got worried because he knew that he was going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was some backlash over the internet saying that this is really unfair. The fact that he was talking about old Japanese properties or old Nintendo properties that were old news and there were some company secrets that got out from these old properties from years ago. He still got in trouble for it because of the contract that he signed. People were saying it was unfair. It was uncalled for. He shouldn't have gotten fired. Yeah, he should have gotten a slap on the wrist because if that was out of his contract, that shouldn't happen. You know, but he shouldn't have been fired. And I have to say that from working in the video game industry for a little bit, that it's completely fair. I feel so bad. Don't get me wrong. I feel so bad for Chris that he got fired. And I wish that he didn't. However, Nintendo has a right to uphold their right to, you know, what they believe in and what their contract says. If they didn't go it, then if they didn't follow their contract, then people could start breaking the rules left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
But I mean, I really do feel bad for what happened. But this was kind of a big deal. What happened over the internet? You know, what the ethics what the ethics of corporate companies are like. I think that they had a right to do that, even though he's been working there for so long, you know? But I really hope that he gets back up on his feet. I hope that he finds work somewhere else, and I hope that he turns out okay, because he's got a family and everything like that he needs to take care of.
If he works for Nintendo, he'll find a job.
Yeah, but you know, he also kind of has a conflict of interest because he broke his contract.
Yeah, that's true.
So, who knows? So, next up, gaming news. So, there was a short talk of a Resident Evil remake. Resident Evil 2 is going to be remade, remastered.
For those of you who don't know, Resident Evil 2 was the best one.
Yeah, or at least our favorite, anyways.
No, it was the best one. It was the best one.
It introduced Leon Kennedy.
Yeah, which spiked his fame into making crappy games after that.
I really liked Resident Evil 4. Resident
I
Evil
could
4
not get behind Resident
was
Evil 4.
Awesome.
Did you play any of the Resident Evils, Victoria?
No.
No, of course not. It's a horror game.
I know. I was just...
Like, you should know that.
Like, but maybe she played 4. I don't know.
I knew it, Victoria. She plays weird
games. Thank you.
Like, every once in a while you play weird games. I don't know what James is making you do.
I play weird games, yes. No horror, gory games. So I mean, though I do like shooting people in games, but it's different. I'm a very good sniper, thank you very much.
But there's talks of Resident Evil 2, the best one in the series, arguably, is getting a remake for new next-gen systems.
It better be like a true-to-game remake. Like,
yeah, and the best part is they came out on the PlayStation originally, so hopefully it'll come out for the next Sony system.
See, but now I'm afraid that it's going to be...
Oh, like Resident Evil 4, 5, 6,
like, yeah, bull crap.
That's Resident a really good point.
Like, garbage trash, like, what they made that freaking franchise. Ugh. Like, hey, go ahead, ruin the best one by making it that Resident Evil trash.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Anyways, but that's my gaming news. What do we have for gaming news from fans now?
Okay. So, Keto sent us along a bit of news a while ago. This has been kind of circulating the web a whole bunch, but maybe some people don't know about this, that now Guillermo del Toro has said, I will never work in video games again. Victoria, are you familiar with what's going on with Konami and Kojima and all those guys getting let go?
No.
Okay, so essentially the whole story is they were making a new Silent Hill game, Kojima and Guillermo del Toro together, and then Konami dumped Kojima for some reason.
Okay.
And with that, the properties of Silent Hill. The PT demo went away. Everything surrounding the Silent Hill project is gone. And then popping up again was them finally saying, hey, this project is gone, but Kojima and Del Toro are going to make something else.
Okay.
Which we were like, sweet, we're going to get another cool horror game. And then that project also got dropped, leading to an interview with Del Toro news outlets everywhere saying, I will never work in video games again.
As well as wow. He should. He's had 3 chances to make video games, and every single one of them has been canceled.
Yeah, they...
Hell yeah, he's bitter.
Yeah, he's been pretty much dumped on the entire time he's trying to make a really cool video game for people, which he would do a fantastic job at. He would make a great video game. Him and Kojima, that is a video game powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've worked in the video game industry. It sucks.
It totally sucks.
Like, it's awful. It's so, like, none of your ideas will get made until it goes through a board of hundreds of people. And by the time it gets to the end, it's this convoluted mess of nothing that you even started with. And that's why so many indie projects are popping up, because people want to make the games that they want to make, not the stupid AAA stuff that is just like, hey, you have to be corporate about this. It's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
But does it look like Call of Duty?
Yeah, but does it look like Call of Duty? Make it look like Transformers. So needless to say, Guillermo del Toro will not be making video games anymore. Who knows, maybe he'll get a project again that might spike his interest to be like, yeah, sure, I'll work on this video game project again. I'll give it another shot, and then it will get dumped again.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I think that he should just release... he should do a Kickstarter for his game Bibles for all of his books. He put in some concept art and, you know, just give us the books of all the ideas he had for
Guillermo del Toro comes up with all of his own creature designs, and he, like, sketches all that stuff. If Guillermo del Toro were to ever release a sketchbook, that thing would sell like hotcakes. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, that thing would be on fire. It'd be like, it'd be so awesome. Guillermo del Toro designs? Holy crap. So thanks, Keto, for shooting that along to us. Next up in gaming news, we have news from Kyle. Shoots us a message saying, hey, here's this news article about Yo-Kai Watch. Now, Yo-Kai Watch is like this property in Japan that's becoming fairly popular. There's a 3DS game coming out. There's an anime coming out.
I've heard about it, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I was
asked... Is it Pokemon?
No, yeah, it's essentially Pokemon, actually. It's it's kind of like a Pokemon-esque thing where you capture yokai creatures. So all the creatures that you use and battle with are yokais, Japanese folklore monsters.
Ghosts!
Yes, so it's essentially Ghostbusters, but Zombie Japanese ghosts. And cute. We're getting the U.S. release in November for the game. And then there's also an anime adaption coming out on top of that.
Hopefully not done in Canada.
It most likely is, because the opening theme song was leaked or something like that.
Is Real Big Fish doing it?
No, Real Big Fish is not doing it.
That was a Rave Masters.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, even know what ska is, yeah. Like what ska music and Real Big Fish in the 90s are.
For those born past 1990.
No, was that Rave Masters or Monster Hunter? Rave. I mean, Monster Hunter, Monster Rancher.
It was Rave Masters.
Rave Masters, okay. Do you remember that, Victoria?
The anime Rave Masters?
Yeah.
I loved that series. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the
they even have. There's an episode of Fairy Tail where it's the characters meet.
Oh, a crossover episode?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me.
They're the same people. Plue even shows up in Fairy Tail.
That's awesome.
See, you should watch more of it, not just.
I didn't watch Rave Masters. I didn't watch Rave Masters, so I wouldn't even know.
You guys kill me.
What? I'm sorry.
We were all happy.
We weren't into anime when we were younger.
I had to like force it into.
We got this from a whole bunch of people. Here is a few more that came from Sean. Here's one that came from Sean, who sent us the news story along saying that what's it called, Pokken. Is going to be coming out. Okay, so what this is saying is that it has the international release, it has a 2016 release, spring, around then for the Wii U. This is on top of the Dave & Buster's test plays that are going to be happening. So we're going to get arcade cabinets and Dave & Buster's for tests. So Victoria, you have to come back to Braintree so we can go to Braintree Dave & Buster's and play some Pokken.
The flight tickets are very expensive. I'm coming back for Anime Boston. We'll go then.
No, we're just going to go to Dave & Buster's once and then you go home.
Yep, because that's worth a $200 plane ticket.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
But on top of this, we had a little news of we and Jonathan and I ended up going to the Pokemon World Championship because it was in Boston this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was so surprised. It's kind of snuck up on us. I didn't even know that really the Pokemon World Championship was a thing until, because it's been around the world. It was in Canada in 2013 and it was in Mexico in last year?
I have no idea.
Because I remember there was a Lucha Libre Pikachu that we could buy.
Yeah, there was the Rock and Roll Pikachu, the Lucha Pikachu, the
PhD, which was adorable,
and then this, and we got an exclusive plushie, which was the Boston Pikachu.
There's a Boston Pikachu?
Yep, he's dressed up like a colonial with a white mustache.
Yeah.
And Jonathan bought a plushie of it.
Actually, I think he was a pirate. And remember all the, there was pirate stuff everywhere at the con.
Pirate? He looks like a colonial. So that's what we have for Pokken news, but I actually got to, while we were at the tournament in Boston, I got to play Pokken. We actually just released a video not too long ago of me and Evan from Boston Basketball Brigade testing it out. I played as Lucario. I was really, trying to choose between playing Blaziken and Lucario because I play a lot of Tekken. And because it's built off the Tekken engine, I was trying to figure out which character would kind of, you know, help me out and be more of what my taste of what I play as characters in Tekken. And I think Blaziken probably would have been my better choice, but Lucario played pretty cool. I do like Lucario. You know, the not broken Lucario that was in the other Pokemon releases.
Pikachu looks like a pirate to me.
See? Told you. Pirate.
But he's wearing, like, the blue. I don't know. Looks like a colonial.
Can we talk about the Pokemon World Championship for a sec? How cool it was?
Okay.
What, you didn't think it was cool?
No, it was great. I just, I don't know what else you want to talk about it. I mean, we got to see Swiss people fighting and it took them forever.
Yeah, it did. They were sitting there. It was awesome. That we saw, the main hall was filled with seats where people were just sitting for hours upon hours all day waiting to see Pokemon fights. And there was the main stage that had one table that two people sat at with their DSs. And there were three screens that were set up that you could see their screens. And you could just watch them fight. However, fighting took a really long time. You only had an hour up on stage, apparently. That's what one of the guys in line told me. It took them that long to make one move. It was ridiculous how long fights took.
Yeah.
And it was just like this chess match. It was like watching chess. You see people sit there. It's like watching people think. That's what it is. They're doing math in their head. And if you could see their brain scans going along the side instead of the screen, it would probably be a lot more interesting and interactive than what was actually happening on the screen. You also couldn't read the text because it was in a different language. But there were card games. There were computer card games. There were DS tournaments for all different versions of the Pokemon. There was poking. That was pretty cool. Which after saying that statement, it actually sounds really weird saying poking so many times out of context. There was so much poking going on at this tournament.
Oh, he's not a pirate. He's an explorer. I'm sorry.
But anyways, the Pokemon World Championship was really cool. It was just a cool atmosphere. It was fun to be at for a couple of hours. And it was really interesting seeing people fighting and everything like that. It was fun.
I hope it comes back to Massachusetts when I'm back in Massachusetts.
I don't think it will. Like I said before, last year it was in Mexico, I think. It was in Canada in 2013. Before that, who knows? It could have been in Japan, Germany, other countries in the world.
Other countries?
That exist.
Yeah, other places that exist. France could be one of them. But there were people from all around the world there in Boston yesterday. Who knew? So, is that all we have for gaming news?
Yeah.
Good, because we have a lot of strange news to go into.
We have a lot of strange news.
Can I get through the ones that I have?
Sure.
I can make them short. First up, there was an Indonesian artist creating moetons for the strip censorship rules that the country enforces. If you realize that Indonesia has massive internet censorship. And so people are fighting back. There was this one artist that got wind in particular who created a moeton mascot of this censorship rule. And it was basically like, it was a really good anime adaption of kind of this, you know, the mature anime look that's like the tall black hair, ponytail, glasses, almost like that librarian look. And it was funny because, you know, they listed all the rules and almost heard, you know, say, don't do this and this is bad. But they were doing kind of like the thing that they were censoring with her as Yaris. I really thought it was funny. If I can find it again, I'll put it in the description. No promises. Because I had some trouble finding some of the articles last week, too. Then also, I heard this from a radio news segment that this one actually comes from China. Surprise, strange news from China. Two men got in a fight at a karaoke bar. One man left with a microphone in his rectum.
What?
What?
Yeah. How do you even get into that intense of a fight? Do you like knock the guy out and then insert the microphone, or do you just get into this thing where you do the thousand years of pain?
That is straight out of prison school.
Yeah. Right.
Horrifying.
Yeah, prison school is a good anime, by the way.
Those of you who are not watching Prison School this season, check it out.
Super awkward. South Korea is now allowing pet plastic surgery.
What?
Yeah. Like, pets need to be any cuter, right?
That's just wrong.
Pet plastic surgery. It's a terrible thing. And I really hope that it's not true. But that's the article that I saw. Plastic surgery. Because you know South Korea is, like, super obsessed with plastic surgery now.
Are they?
Yeah. You haven't seen, like, the articles about people getting plastic surgery?
No.
They go through, like, we're talking about, you know, the guy from South Korea who got plastic surgery to look like Superman?
No.
Really? Holy crap.
Yeah, really.
Like, South Korea is totally in this plastic surgery kick where they do massive amounts of surgery on themselves. Well, now you can get it for your pets. And I feel bad for your pets.
I know, that's seriously. Horrible.
Yeah, that's like a different form of animal cruelty. Because I'm pretty sure the pets don't have a say in whether or not they want plastic surgery.
Yeah. But that's all I have, because the next one that I have is actually from our fan, Robert. About the robot wedding?
Yeah, absolutely. No, robot wedding was Ithor.
I got it from Robert, too.
No. Robert sent us the wedding. Ithor sent us the hotel.
Ah, okay. There we go. So let's start with the wedding, then. First recognized robot wedding in Japan. Happened.
Which is what?
Yeah. Okay. Attendees.
Are you paying attention, Victoria?
Yes. Robots can now get married. Robot rights. There we go.
Okay. Was it someone marrying a robot, or did two robots get married?
No, two robots getting married.
Yeah. What? Two artificial intelligent robots getting married.
We don't have any androphiliacs yet.
No. Yeah. But.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, we do. We have people.
We probably do.
We have people marrying trucks here in
we do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Marrying trucks?
I believe it.
In America.
Yeah, it's like this weird object fetish. Like,
I
it's
have
like
friends obsessed with their trucks. I believe it.
Is there, like, some sort of loophole, though, that allows you to get officially recognized married to a truck?
I have no idea. Yeah. I assume so.
Is a truck marriage legal?
Look, you can marry anything.
Back to the robots, boys.
You can marry anything you want, so yeah. Weird back to the robots getting married.
Okay, so there was you could attend this wedding for $80.
Okay.
Which is a weird thing to think, because technically, I mean, you can go to Disney World and just watch robots do things all the time.
So I'm assuming this is an arranged marriage. Because there's no way, like, one robot would go to another robot and be like, I am sentient and I like you.
Well, it is Japan after all.
It is Japan. But, so...
Is that still a thing? Is arranged marriage still a thing in Japan?
Hey, look, I would be totally cool with arranged marriage. Like, I think that's a cool concept.
You so. Would?
Yeah, when we were younger, we had cool, cute friends who were, like, arranged by our parents. But, you know, because that's not a custom here in America.
It just didn't happen.
I think it just didn't happen.
No.
What?
Just no. That's not okay.
There we go.
You should be able to choose. You shouldn't... No, just no.
Well, yeah, totally.
But if your parents are like, hey, this girl's really cute, or this guy is really handsome, you know...
Yeah, but they're probably a dick in real life.
What? Who, the parents or the person?
The person could grow up to be a jackass, you don't know.
Yeah, you know how, like, there's that relationship triangle? There's three points on a triangle, but you can only pick two.
Yeah.
Attractive, emotionally stable, and intelligence. You can only pick two.
Huh.
It works for every relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I pick attractive and emotionally stable.
Enjoy the dumb blogs.
No, I don't, actually, believe it or not, but whatever.
I know. I've known you two long enough to know your types at this point, really.
So what was your opinion? I missed it. Did you agree with me, or...
What, the intelligent and...
No, that I don't like dumb blondes.
No, you definitely don't.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
So, robot wedding, though.
Yeah, I know. Where are we going?
There was a whole reception. I mean, like, I feel like this could be an attraction at Disney World. Instead, people paid $80 for it.
So, are these robots still married?
I have no idea. For all
robot
we know, they could have gone to a
chop shop
afterwards. Some dude just collected people's $80 and then killed the robots.
Yeah, well, that was fun.
Yeah. And then just throw them into a wood chipper or something like that. Thanks for your $80, people.
Where are the robots? They're on their honeymoon.
Yeah, right? But continuing our robot trend, robot hotel from Aitor.
The first ever robot hotel opened up and saw its first guest. Now, if you guys haven't seen the robot hotel, it's pretty creepy.
Yeah, wicked.
You get greeted by robots. You get luggage taken by robots. You get robot... Oh, it's just so weird. And there's all different kinds of robots. It's bizarre, man. It's exactly what it sounds like. You go into this hotel and everything is a robot. And I don't understand really how it works. Like, how would you even... There's a whole video that goes along with it, too.
To be honest, after talking about robot wedding, I totally thought it was a place that robots can go and stay.
Oh, so like...
What?
That's actually what I would wonder myself.
That's what my brain went to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, or like...
Because you said they had their first guest. Well, the robot's on their honeymoon, obviously.
Yeah, were they robot guests? Like, that's a really good point. And I would wonder the same thing, but would robots pay money? Like, would this be an economically good choice if only robots could stay here?
Well, hey, it was $80 per person for their wedding, so why not?
Well, for real people to see the wedding.
I know,
though.
I'm just
people didn't,
stupid.
Like, make robots and send them to the wedding. It could be. That could be a thing, though. I don't know. Are you watching a video on it right now?
Yeah, this is the video for it. Yep, look at that. That is a robot that you put your luggage in, you type in your room number, and it travels the luggage to... And my internet crashed. What I saw of it is the video popped up, they typed in their room number, and the robot just traveled the luggage to the room. There was a animatronic raptor as a food server.
Why?
I don't know. But either way, the Japanese man who was staying there said...
they're all robots, so they're very friendly and polite.
Yeah.
It's true. You can get perfect service from them.
I mean, like, who would think that, like, would you be a complete and total dick to all the robots in there, and, like, they would just be like, you're welcome.
I'd love to see a guest go complain to them.
Yeah, right.
Destroy all humans.
It falls out of Raycon and vaporizes you.
Is there really a raptor?
Yeah, there's a raptor at the, as a food service person.
No, the raptor. See, the raptor needs to be the one handling guest complaints.
Oh, he's wearing a chef hat.
Because then he can.
Is that
like,
a chef hat or is that like a? I can't tell if it's maybe he's just a receptionist. Oh, a dinosaur at reception. So
exactly. So the guests have to go if they have any kind of complaints. Have to go talk to a raptor. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, maybe that's just a.
It's just his hat.
No, not just a hat, but like his their strategy so that you can't complain because, well, one, it's a robot, it won't freaking listen to you, but you can say anything you want to it, it won't change the difference of what's going on here.
I'd like to be served.
I want a different room. No, I'll eat.
Go talk to the raptor.
Yeah, you go talk to the raptor. I don't want to talk to the raptor. Please.
So thanks for that. That's a pretty funny news story.
I really like that news story.
Here's a fun one that comes from our wicked fan, Sean, again. Okay, so there's a new restaurant that opened up. And it's a small restaurant.
Okay.
And here's another thing that is just, it's a situation of, is this for real?
Uh-huh.
The answer is yes. There is a small restaurant that serves curry. And the curry tastes like poop.
So wait a minute. This is a place that your food actually tastes like crap. Like, you, when people say, this tastes like crap, it's a compliment.
Yeah, this is literally, that is literally what it tastes like because that's literally what he made.
No, he didn't make poop, did he?
No. Well, the curry kind of looks like poop, but
he always does, though.
But he says it tastes like poop. Now, you might be asking to yourself, how does he know this? Victoria, what are you asking to yourself?
I'm asking, one, how the hell do you know what that tastes like? And okay. Two, why would you eat that?
Yes, okay, good. So you are asking, how does he know what it tastes like? I'm glad you asked, because the answer is, well, he used to work in adult videos.
Wait a minute. Where are you... Are you suggesting that he did?
He said that that working in the adult industry, it was bound to come across at least one time eventually, that you just happen to know what it kind of tastes like.
No, never.
It's
supposed to exit your body always.
Welcome to Strange News. So you get free drinks with this curry, and if you're able to eat the whole meal, you get a free complimentary sticker.
Are you kidding me? I want a banana sticker.
I feel like everyone going in there is really, really drunk or really, really high. Well, I was hungry until now.
Yeah, thanks, right? I haven't eaten yet today. I don't think I'm gonna.
And I was gonna go for Chinese food. Now I hate you both.
Why not curry?
Yeah.
Oh God, I might burn. No.
Is that as strange as it gets?
You know, honestly, I do have another strange news segment, but that really is.
I don't think I can handle
gets,
a strange news.
So I'm not even
gonna
bother.
Okay.
That is as strange as it gets.
Good, because I'm gonna move on to. We actually don't have a fetish of the week or anything like that, but we do have some statistics. So,
good.
Let's statistics.
All right.
This one isn't really necessarily statistics per se, rather that it's a historical lesson. Uh-huh. And this is, have any of you ever wondered why, let's say in any anime or video games, they always list the Japanese blood types?
Yeah, I actually do, in fact, wonder
that
kinda. Myself.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you've noticed that too, right,
yeah.
Victoria? Like, everything has a blood type next to it?
Yeah.
There was a couple weeks ago an article that was released that I came across that it says, what do you bleed? Like, what do those blood types mean? In the history of Japan, anyways. Well, there's a little history behind it. In 1900, an Austrian biologist, Karl Landsteiner, first identifies blood types, right? Okay, cool. In 1916, 16 years later, Kimura Hara writes a paper that links blood types and characters. So a character of a person and their blood type. So he discovers that a blood type links to a certain kind of person that you are.
Okay.
So your blood type in 1927,
kind of like your personality? Takeshi Furukawa, we're getting into those really hard names again, publishes a book, The Study of Temperament Through Blood Types. So it's about emotion and what kind of blood types you have. The research was never really statistically sound, but it was kind of like a theoretical book. It was theoretical science, which is kind of cool to read every once in a while. 3 years later, 1930s, the theory of personality related to the blood types adopted by the militaristic government, who they were trying to suddenly breed better military soldiers based on their blood type. So they were trying to breed people with certain blood types so that they would be better soldiers. So certain blood type would have a better temperament.
But then they found out that blood types have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the late 1930s, after that, it turned out to be a fad that faded fast due to the lack of the evidence behind it.
Wow.
However, in 1970... it was revitalized as a trend by Masahiko Nomi, who has no medical or scientific background, but is really interested in the scientific logic behind it. So they started doing research.
That kind of sounds like our panel.
Yeah, exactly. We're just interested in it. So, hey, why not? So in 1970, there were daytime TV shows that offered blood horoscopes. More than 90% of the people in Japan know their blood types. Like, it's not really common in America to know what your blood type is. There's a lot of people who give blood in America, they know, but if you don't do that sort of thing, typically it's not something offhand that you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, my standing right now is just, like, I think my blood type is O.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm the universal donor.
Yeah, you don't know?
Mm-mm.
Victoria?
No idea.
Interesting.
I'm scared of shots, so I will not be giving blood anytime soon.
Yeah, right? Me too. That's exactly how I feel about
it. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll get shots, but I won't voluntarily get my blood taken.
Yeah, no, it's mine.
Yeah, that's my blood.
That's my blood.
Is it bad that one of the reasons I got a tattoo is because you can't for a while? You cannot give blood because of it.
No, I have
a tattoo. I can't give blood. Sorry. At least not for a little while.
Interesting, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was on my list. It was.
So, Japanese baseball cards after that started showing their blood type. The Japanese women's softball team used the blood type theory to customize each of their players' training. And using that theory, the Beijing Olympics that happened just, you know, recently. For Olympics, it was recently, but for world history, it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
But the Beijing Olympics, the women's softball team won the gold medal. So, I mean, like, coincidence? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a theory.
Blood type books in Japan are among the bestsellers in 2008. Blood type soft drinks are popular in Japan. There's soft drinks that they made that are specific to each blood type. So, like, there's a line that, like, okay, if you're a blood type A, B, you drink this. If you're blood type O, you drink this.
Seriously?
Yeah, blood type B is a soda that's for mental stamina, so people who use a lot of brain power. So if you're blood type B, you use a lot of brain power, so you can keep using that if you drink this soda. A, B's used for, they have a lot of manganese to reduce stress, while the lemon-flavored soda of A blood type contains a lot of vitamin C and calcium to calm tense nerves.
They get lemon-flavored
soda. Yeah, so blood types, A blood types are very stressed. Apple-flavored blood types and blood type O's, which would be us.
I'm good with apple flavor. I like apple.
Yeah, soda has multivitamins in it to help burn energy more efficiently. So do we not do that? Is that what it's saying? I'm not really sure.
It's the most common one, so.
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah, okay, so we actually have types of blood here. Type A's are known as the farmers. They're conservative, calm, responsible, etc. Their worst traits are they're obsessive, over-calculus, sensitive. Famous people, George H.W. Bush, O.J. Simpson, Britney Spears, Alan Alda, Adolf Hitler. That's kind of cool.
Richard Nixon.
Jet Li.
Jet Li.
Type B, the hunter. Creative, flexible, impulsive, free-spirited. Worst traits, forgetful, irresponsible, self-centered. famous people: Jack Nicholson, Akira Kurosawa, all
right,
Tom Selleck, and his mustache, Paul McCartney, the humanist, best traits, cool, rational, highly organized.
Type AB.
AB? Oh, what did I say?
You didn't say anything. You just said the humanist.
Oh, the humanist, type AB. Cool, rational, highly organized, empathetic. Worst traits: aloof, critical, indecisive, and unforgiving. Famous people: Mao Zedong, John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Mick Jagger.
Jackie Chan.
And
Jackie Chan.
Type O, that would be us. The warrior.
Yeah.
Outgoing, social, self-confident, ambitious, passionate, goal-oriented, and natural leader.
Worst, that's actually kind of true.
Worst traits: arrogant, vain, insensitive, ruthless, and jealous.
I don't know about that.
Famous people: Ronald Reagan, Queen Elizabeth, John Lennon, Paul Newman, Al Capone. Okay, hey, how about we get into some statistics? Type A people, 38% of them in Japan are type A. 38% of people in Japan are type A, 40% in America. Type B, 10% of people in America, 22% in Japan. Type AB, 5% in the US and 10% in Japan. So, of course, it's still the rarest of any kind. And then type O, 45% of the US and 30% in Japan.
Weird.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So that was a really interesting statistic. I think that that's an awesome answer to, like, because everybody has got to be wondering that at some point. Not scientifically sound, by the way, but that's why they use it in Japan, because it's just a trend. It's something that has lasted throughout their cultural history.
That's why every character you see in their stat sheet has their blood type.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Pretty cool. Hey, so with that, let's move on to what we're watching.
Okay, Victoria, what are you watching? We'll start with you.
Okay, so I've been catching up on Fairy Tail, of course. I'm trying to get a little bit more back into One Piece again. I checked out Food Wars for about 2 minutes.
For about 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What happens in the first 2 minutes of the first episode?
Oh, the squid thing.
Relates to a lovely squid. Yeah, nope. So no, I'll talk about that for you.
You gotta get past it. It's worth
no,
it.
It's that worth was it. Horrifying.
You can't let that ruin it. It's so funny. It's like one of the best and funniest shows I've seen.
You like got turned on by food. It was weird.
It's not. They're not getting turned on by food. It's like the visualization of how it feels to eat. Because you can't explain what it's like to eat something. Like, because you can't explain taste. Because then you just be like, if you eat a squid, well, it tastes like squid. Like, so it's the visual representation of what it tastes like to them.
This is actually a really interesting point, because it's kind of like, you know how Japan has this thing called umami, which is, it's a word that is not translatable in the English language. Umami is just a flavor, or it's a thing that when you eat, that's what it is. It's just, umami is umami. When you taste something that's umami, it's umami. Like, it doesn't... That's all we can say.
So Food Wars is visual umami.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's what they're showing when they do all that weird stuff is... Like, when it almost seems like they're having an orgasm when they eat food, that's them reaching umami. And I honestly think that... In my honest opinion, though, like, you should give it another shot. Please, for us.
Will you finally watch Avatar Last Airbender?
That's Andrew's duty.
Yeah, Jonathan's already seen it.
Still, will you watch it? If you watch the first episode, at least start watching it.
I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. I am.
All right, let me know when he watches it, and then I'll give it a shot.
Hey, are we watching anything new, Andrew?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something a little bit different, because I'm not watching anything, but...
Yeah, I don't have anything.
But my buddy from work, for my birthday... For our birthday, gave me the first 5 volumes where Shippuden starts of Naruto. So I will be beginning my adventure into Naruto, trying to catch up before Boruto comes out.
The movie?
Trying, yeah. Because I've already read all of the Boruto manga stuff that's come out so far, but I will be trying to catch up with Naruto. Because I have always had an interest in Naruto, you know, and by the time Ninja Storm 4 comes out, the story will make more sense to us. And so now is the best time to start, I believe, to catch up and understand what's going on in the Naruto universe. Because I've always been interested, and I've always wanted to get it. So, Naruto manga. I've started reading volume 28. Next up, we discovered, not really discovered, I knew it existed, but I started watching more episodes of it. There's a show on YouTube called Only in Japan. And
oh, yeah!
And Only in Japan is a show starred by John Dobb. And nobody's gonna know that name except for me. And the reason is because John Dobb started on Tokyo Eye on the NHK network. And then after he was no longer a cast member or reporter on Tokyo Eye, he went and made his own YouTube show called Only in Japan. And you see a bunch of the reoccurring people from Tokyo Eye pop up on his show, and they do cool stuff about culture, nerd culture, like all this neat stuff about Japan.
I really like the Gacha Gacha Pon episode.
Yeah, it's really quirky. Like he speaks like a reporter, but he's a children's reporter almost. Yeah.
Like if it were a show on Nick Jr.
Yeah, I started following him on Twitter. I started hey, can I get a job with you? You know, like trying to reach out to him. So yeah, John Dobb's show on YouTube called Only in Japan.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It is. It's really cool. And he has, if you go to his YouTube channel, he actually has all of his videos split up. So you can go to playlists, anything that's about Akihabara or nerd culture, festivals in Japan, just regular cultural things like hot springs and stuff. It's really neat stuff. It's great. You should check it out. But that's what I'm watching. At least that's what the new stuff I'm watching. Everything else I should have already mentioned.
Yeah, most certainly. At one time or another. So, hey, how about we do a little moving on to our Tapagotchi today?
Yeah.
That's all right. We are going to... This was a fan-suggested topic. Actually, it was from a while ago. It's been sitting in our queue for a little bit. Our fan, Mike, had suggested it to us. And he wants to know about our experience with characters that have either evolved over time or how a character changes in a time jump. And maybe, I don't know, even why they do that.
Yeah, favorites and what happened with the character, how their design changed, all those different aspects.
I find it really interesting when they do character designs or they do character changes like that, especially time jumps, because it's almost like they cut out a huge portion of the story. Well, they do time jump. Mm-hmm. that's actually literally what it is. And I think it's just a way to move a story to another point in time where something important is going to happen, because they probably have the in-betweens, but they don't think it's interesting enough to show.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do a time jump and the character changes, his personality completely changes.
Not completely. It's still the same character, but like it's a recognized character, but it's almost as if they matured more.
Yeah, and I haven't ever seen it done wrong. Have you ever seen it done wrong?
No.
I don't think so,
no. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Because I'm trying to think of time jump episodes. Gurren Lagann has one.
Gurren Lagann has a significant time jump.
But what they do before that is Simone finds his leadership when he's a kid, and then it jumps along. They do it in Death Note, too, at one point. There's a significant time jump in Death Note that I know we have people watching Death Note, so I'm not going to say anything about it, but
okay.
But he doesn't...
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, but it's at the point where there's a major story point change, and the reason why there's a time jump is because he's unstoppable at that point.
Yeah, and then most famously, there's most famously a time jump in One Piece, which I'm sure mm-hmm. Victoria's very familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not.
Well, I kind of know about it because my coworker at work was reading it in front of me, so like I just kind of like stared at it while he did it, and he would explain stuff to me as it was going on. Even though I would still read one, I'm still gonna eventually read One Piece on my own. Even though I know some of the major significant events that happen.
It takes you a long time.
Well, yeah, and I'm on Naruto, and that's oof.
Which is kind of a weird thing to think about anyways. An evolution manga like One Piece, why would there be a time jump? The reason why you never want it to end is because you're the most popular manga in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you do a time jump when you can fill in all that space with stuff to write about and people will still totally buy it?
Well,
filled stuff in during the One Piece one. Like, things were happening.
Yeah,
and they told you what was happening. There was episodes and chapters about just, like, what they were all going through while they were separated. It wasn't just straight up like, oh, hey, 2 years, done. They put things in between it as it went on.
So they kind of did flashbacks?
No, okay, so they all got separated is what happened in One Piece. They all get completely separated, different corners of the earth, like everywhere. Different.
How did that happen?
This big, huge dude just like power fist them out of there. It's weird.
Really, just like
literally, like he's known for if he touches you, you get blasted. People think you die. You just vanish. But it's because really you get flown through the air so fast that you just blink out of existence is what it looks like. And they all end up in different areas. Ironically, they all ended up in places that help them grow and develop who they are. except for Sanji. Sanji, who's the guy who's obsessed with women, the cook, he ended up on an island of cross-dressers. And it's all drag queens, and so and they're like, "Ooh, he's really cute," and so the entire time he's just running.
That's brilliant.
Like so, his legs are badass and fire.
I saw that in the manga. I saw that take place, so I actually did know about that. And
he gets really mad because Luffy gets ends up staying with like the pretty much just
the Gorgon.
Yeah, right? He ends up with the pirates. It's all literally like if you took Xena, like pretty much there, and he doesn't really give two shits.
And like the Amazon women from Futurama.
Yes, exactly.
And
Death by Snoo Snoo.
But it is the Gorgon, right? Like the leader of them is like a Gorgon and can turn people to stone.
Yeah.
And then because the thing is like he's over there and she can turn people to stone, but because he's made of rubber, he can't be turned to stone.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, falls, like, deeply in love with him.
Oh, yeah, she's obsessed with him. She's completely obsessed with him.
Does not want anything to do with it.
There's a rumor, there's this weird rumor, like, among all of the, like, fans, that he might end up with her, which makes me very unhappy, but, but yeah.
And then, well, like, Victoria, you just have to understand that there's literally almost nothing going on between Nami and Luffy.
Lies! No, actually, that is lies, because she's the only one who's allowed to touch his hat, pretty much. And he trusts her almost, like, her and Zolo are the two he like, trusts the most. It's there is something, it's just... So don't even...
I don't want to even travel down this path.
You don't want to trust me. If you get me started with it, it's not going to end.
Do not mess with my OTPs, guys.
Nope. But they all completely change. Except Robin doesn't change much. She was always smart and pretty scary, so she pretty much stayed the same.
And it's because she's a fan favorite. You can't change her too much.
And Brooke doesn't change too much either because... He was the musician.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's a skeleton. He can't really change too much. But he becomes famous, like, world famous while they're away. It's kind of weird. It's confusing and strange. But it's really entertaining. And I like the gap. It changed a lot of things. And it worked out really well.
That's really interesting how they kind of mix the two, where they do a time jump, but they also... they evolve the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
they showed them all during their training as it went on. Like, it's because it showed mostly Sanji was just running for his life the entire time. But, like, it showed Nami learning different things. It showed them all learning everything that they needed to. I can never pronounce it. I think it's either Zoro or Zolo. Because, like, I know it's Zoro in the real stuff. And then I'm like, but I grew up with the four kids version, which was Zolo.
Really? You know, I actually found the four kids versions on DVD and was, like, really tempted to buy them just for the sake of having the four kids cuts on DVD.
I know. It's so bad. But he ended up, you know anything about it, he always had this one person he wanted to fight. And this one person he wanted to defeat. He ends up landing on an island that it's that guy's island. And he's like, I want you to train me. And so then he trains there for the whole time, and you see him kind of get his butt kicked every freaking day. But they all develop a lot and change a lot, and, like, even Luffy gets a little more serious because this entire time it kind of focuses on him and everything he goes through.
Yeah, I'm actually, I've discussed this on the show before, but I'm a huge fan of time jumps, mostly because you can see where these characters that you liked or like and what you used to know about them, how they've continued and stayed the same. Now, usually I'm a fan of this in an epilogue, you know, like an epilogue, oh, time jump, this is what happened after their story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff. But if it happens in the middle of the story keeps going, I'm also okay with that as long as you end it properly and maybe even still have an epilogue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honestly, one of the things that's really good about One Piece is even though he has a planned ending for the story already, and he knows when it's going to end, where it's going to end, how many more chapters he has to go through, all those different kinds of things.
I don't think it's ending anytime soon.
What's that?
It's not going to be ending anytime soon.
Yeah, he says it's about 70 to 80% complete. One Piece is still a property that he built such a massive world that he can do anything he wants after it. It doesn't have to be about the Straw Hat Pirates. One of the things that I want to talk about, which we talked to death on the show, is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Of course.
Because, well, but think about it. The show is made up of time jumps.
Yeah.
And time jumps and character development.
But that's an interesting point, though. At that point, are they just completely different stories?
They are. But it's still on topic with how a character changes. How a character's design changes, how where they go, what happens to them. So one of the most notable ones is Joseph Joestar.
Yeah, which, in my opinion, even though as much as I love both of those characters, I feel like they're completely different from one another. Young Joseph and old Joseph, completely different from one another. Almost as if there's no coherent reason for him to change his fact, other than the fact that he loves his daughter so much that he changed his ways.
Yeah. With JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you start off with Jonathan Joestar, who dies. That's not really a spoiler because
he's not in any other ones.
Yeah, he's just not in the story anymore. I mean, heck, he could have just died of old age. You don't know. You haven't watched it yet, or if you have, you already know this, and it's not a spoiler. Because the whole story of Joe's Bizarre Adventure is generational.
Yeah, you don't see the last generation after a while.
Yeah. So
sometimes they do show up, but it's not about the story's not about them anymore.
Yeah, because they die off. They get old. What's going on right now with the Stardust Crusaders? It's the grandson of Joseph Joestar, and Joseph used to be a young person, and in this series he's an old person. And
that's how time works.
Yeah. So you know, he's got his character design completely changes. He's semi-recognizable. Like, he still has the same basic facial structure with a little bit more wrinkles, but, you know, they add the gray beard to him. They give him, like, this whole Western look with, like, hats and trench coats. You know, his hand is gone now, so we give him a robot hand.
Robot hand means you're older.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that's not making him look older is he's not wearing glasses. But Susie Q is.
Yeah.
His wife, Susie Q, is now wearing glasses.
Yeah, but she's really old.
Yeah, to show the passing of time.
Like, she looks way older than Joseph. This is a weird thing.
But I always thought that was a great example of how characters develop and how characters may be different. Even though Joseph Joestar's was kind of drastically different, it still worked. You could still tell it was Joseph Joestar. At least I could, because they still gave him, like, the same properties and the same quirkiness at times. Probably the best example I can use, because I really haven't watched a whole lot of animes where time skips. I mean, or time continues on to a point where the characters change, except for things like Bleach, maybe, and I know about Dragon Ball, and I know about Naruto. You know,
my
I know what happens.
Still Full
Metal. Naruto being probably one of my favorites, actually. Yeah. I probably should not be talking about Naruto.
Well, rather, actually, I think one of my favorites, which I think Victoria is going to agree with me, was Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Brotherhood was amazing. Well, because, like, because it depends. If you're talking Full Metal Alchemist, the way that they, like, jumped over with the movie, that was horrible.
No. We're talking as if that movie doesn't even
Brotherhood.
Exist.
Brotherhood.
Yeah,
Brotherhood especially.
Conqueror of Shambhala should burn in hell, but...
no,
Hughes is a Nazi. It needs to die.
Okay. They did it right with Brotherhood, for sure.
They did, definitely.
If you go on Tumblr and you see that gif of the first time that Winry and Ed have a fight, and they're like two bickering little kids, and then the last one where they're fighting at the very end of the series, and Ed is taller than Winry, you can see maturity in their face. Oh, and the fact that Ed is like super muscular too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like
he's taller than her now, and
yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I was in love with that, like, whole concept of you slowly watched Ed grow up, but you didn't even notice.
Yeah, it was so subtle. But I mean, even if you think about it, the way that Full Metal Alchemist worked, the way that the show is completely different from, like, if you think back to the first episode of what they're looking for the Philosopher's Stone, and then even just like 13 episodes in, they find out about the Philosopher's Stone, and then the end of the series is like, remember when they were looking for the Philosopher's Stone? You know? And then they
remember
found out
how it all started?
Yeah. And then they found out it was a bad thing. Like, that was pretty cool.
I like how they skipped through the end of their lives, too, with pictures at the very end.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And that's
that end picture is my favorite thing on the planet.
Well, your favorite thing on the planet, I have no doubt. Like, that, I mean, it's cute. It's adorable.
It's so great. It makes everything perfect.
Yeah, see, it's how I can tell that you're, like, burying your head in, like, with your fangirling. The way you're muffling the mic.
I'm sorry.
But
this just makes me so happy.
That's a really good way to do time passage too, is through pictures, like especially for an epilogue. I think it only works for an epilogue.
Well, because, exactly.
Appropriately.
But the thing is, if you can tell a story just with pictures and no words, then you've successfully done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Like if you read a comic book with no words and you know exactly what happens, success.
Oh, here's what I was thinking about. One of my most favorite things on planet Earth, which is Mamoru Hosoda, along with another one of my most favorite things, which is Every Frame of Painting, when he talks about time-lapse and the use of a lateral camera motion. How they do that, where they're in, the children are in the schoolhouse, and it's just panning left to right. It goes to Ami's classroom, and then Yuki's classroom. Ami's classroom, Yuki's classroom. And it just changes the grades that they're in. And it shows one thing that they do in the classroom, like Ami getting bullied, and then Yuki growing up, making friends. You know, like, and then in just how their lives change. It's beautiful. Like, absolutely gorgeous. I'm gonna put that in the description because they also talk about Up and the opening scene of Pixar's Up.
Which God, that scene!
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my God,
it's so heartbreaking. There was one day I was actually at our last Monster Hunter weekend where I went downstairs to get just a drink of water, and Up was on TV and it was the opening scene. I stopped and I watched the entire 10-minute opening, and I didn't go back to Monster Hunter weekends until it was over.
Wow. It stopped. Wow. It kept you from Monster Hunter?
What?
Nothing. Not mocking you. No.
There was also the talk of characters that don't time lapse at all in the case of Ash Ketchum.
Ha! Oh God!
So many seasons of Pokemon, and he's still freaking 10.
Yeah, there's more episodes of Pokemon than there are in Ash's life.
Yeah.
So like, well,
you know something strange? I've watched more Pokemon than I have working at Universal than I ever thought I would. It's on in our break room.
Really?
We watch it all the time, and we discuss Pokemon a lot. And there's even a wall, like when it's your birthday or your anniversary. Like with the company, they put a Pokemon with your birthday.
I would love that.
It's kind of great. We all, like, there was a day over the headset, we totally were really bored and started playing Who's That Pokemon?
And so is it in fact true that Ash is still 10?
I don't know.
Because, like, if he hasn't aged, like, there's an impossible amount of days in throughout all the whole series of Pokemon that... I mean,
I feel like he should at least be 30.
Yeah.
See, but then it goes back to the fan theory about him being in a coma, and that would make sense why he doesn't age.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard that fan theory?
I have.
Yeah. Everybody knows the coma fan theory for Pokemon.
Yeah.
I almost feel like he should at least be 15 at this point.
Well,
can't he be 20? Like.
Well, he should be our age, because Pokemon came out when we were 10.
Right.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah, Pokemon came out when we were 10. I remember that specifically.
Well, we could have been...
Either that or we were 9.
Yeah, we were 9 or 10. I think we were 9 because we were in 4th grade when it started.
Yes, you're right. We were 9, so we were excited because Ash is like 10. Oh, he's an older kid to look up to.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He's still 10 and now we're 25. So I was just some weird kid on an adventure in the forest.
All right.
Move on to some fan service.
Yeah, we have some quick fan service for you guys. We got some pretty funny stuff. For you guys. You guys seem to like the funny stuff when it comes to fan service. Either way, we were discussing this, and over the Monster Hunter weekend, we got some, you know, during Monster Hunter weekend, we get some pretty quirky things in the chat feed. So,
yeah, join us even if you just want to talk to us.
One of the things that got sent over us was Sean sent us the Gurren Lagann, Little Witch Academia, etc., that artist, his art book. The art book of the artist and illustrator of that.
Gimme.
I think it might have been a Comic Cat exclusive. I'm not sure. There were a lot of Comic Cat exclusives coming out around that time because of Comic Cat.
I heard about that, and I think you're right.
Well, because it was the same thing. Gerardo sent us over a thing. It was like this really funny video that we can post up in the description about foreigner conduct. Well, actually, conduct and manner for everybody, but it had foreigners in it. It was a Japanese thing, but it was about foreigners.
Right.
How you should behave and act at Comic Cat.
Don't be a baka gaijin.
Yeah, exactly.
You weebs.
And then, of course, we were discussing Monster Hunter because of that, and we were discussing Devil Joe. For those of you who don't know what the Devil Joe is, it's essentially a savage T-Rex-like character who is the worst enemy in the game to fight, and he looks like a giant pickle.
Yeah.
So, they actually made a product of spicy Devil Joe pickles.
That's amazing.
So, that is a thing. Gerardo has informed us that he actually has them.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, he's obsessed. He's a fan. I mean, it's a good thing. I'm not like shaming him. You're too obsessed. No, that's a good thing.
Because I am too. I totally. I hate pickles. But if I found a jar of Devil Joe pickles, I would get them and try them.
Yeah.
Just to see it. Just be like, this is awful. This is these are like fighting the Devil Joe. Like that's that's how bad these pickles are.
Not even the Devil Joe would eat these.
And he eats everything and goes to sleep and paralyzes himself.
I think only you and I are going to be laughing about that, honestly.
Next up, back to Sean. Sean sent us a wicked funny cosplay. It's a cosplay picture of, there's so many Hestia cosplays all over there, both guys and girls cosplaying as Hestia from Danmachi, but nobody but this guy has cosplayed as Hestia's boob string.
Yeah, he plays the blue boob ribbon underneath that she wears on her. So he's dressed in a you know, the Green Man suits, like a blue version of that, and then he's got two morphous spheres sitting on top of him. He lies on the ground and these two morphous spheres go on top of him.
It's really hilarious. It really is.
I'll put the picture in the description. You guys got to see it.
I'm kind of horrified about the description of that.
All you do is shake your head and go, "Oh, Japan."
That's a good point.
But it is a very creative cosplay and a very funny one at that.
It's kind of like the history of the guy who, like, the beer case Gundam in America.
Yeah, kinda.
That was cool.
But it's so overplayed now.
Yeah, now everybody's a beer case Gundam.
Crazy. Either that or a cardboard box on your chest that says Gundam on it.
And that's all we have for you guys this time, because most of everything that we talked about in fan service was in news.
It was news.
So that's all the stuff that was kind of like extra, which was a nice touch. So thank you guys. We love getting that kind of weird stuff.
Thank you.
It always makes us laugh.
Time to move on to shameless plugs.
That's right. So if you guys want to join in our discussion, talk about character design development, what characters turn into, your favorites, your worsts, anything more that we talked about, anime series that have time jumps, let us know. Email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also message us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can talk to us on the forums or posts, and look at our news feeds. We'll let you know on videos. We'll do all that kind of stuff. Facebook is awesome. And then, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find both our videos and our podcast, if you're not listening to the podcast there already. Because you can also listen to the podcast at SoundCloud/WickedAnime.
I really like SoundCloud. SoundCloud's my favorite.
SoundCloud is awesome. It's super clean and super smooth. You can get right on
your
phone.
I've used SoundCloud before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great. And, of course, iTunes and Stitcher.
Oh, yeah, Stitcher. That's right. We got Stitcher.
Yeah, we are on Stitcher.
Never heard of Stitcher.
It's a podcast website. It's like podcasting branding and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then next up, of course, we have our Tumblr and our Twitter. That's wickedanime.tumblr.com. And, of course, you can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime, where we had a bunch of tweets over our birthday, which was cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Finally, youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we have all of our videos that we semi-frequently post on there. We actually just recently posted that short little blurb of the Pokken footage that I did.
Yeah.
It was really great.
In the description. Survey.
Yes. Yes. Guys, The nerdyshow.com survey is going on right now. So if you head over to nerdyshow.com, please take that survey. It'll help out the network a huge bunch. There's two versions of it. There's the long version, which asks you a whole bunch of fun questions about the shows. If you don't watch a show, you can skip right over it.
Yeah, it doesn't. It actually doesn't take that long.
It's only like 15 minutes of your time.
No, it took me like 20 minutes.
Really? But even still, like if you don't watch a show, it goes even faster.
Yeah.
But it gives us great information. But there's also a short version of the podcast survey that you can use right away. It's great.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Nerdyshow.com survey. Go take it. It'll help us out a bunch. And you can answer great questions about Wicked Anime, of course.
Yeah, we put a lot in there. We're like one of the shows that has the most questions to ask.
That's not true. Nerdy Show asks.
Like, well, besides Nerdy Show, of course they care about their show. Everybody else is like, bleh.
But it will definitely help us out a lot if you guys comment on it, write your free descriptions, answer the cool blurbs that we have up there for you. We would certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm totally kidding, by the way. Everybody else loves their shows.
Yeah. And if you can, take the long survey. If you're short on time, yeah, sure, take the short one.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think we've covered all of our bases, except, Twitch.com. You can visit Wicked Anime at Twitch.com now, where we're going to be playing video games on our PS4.
That's right. That one's new, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, at Wicked Anaplay. So we are Wicked Anaplay on Twitch, which may soon be moving to YouTube, depending on the PS4's updates for that. Yeah. We'll keep you guys updated because it has not officially launched yet. You can, however, follow us already if you want to get the updates for whenever we're streaming. But we'll let you know. We'll do a video release. We'll do Facebook release, everything of when you can go see Wicked Anaplay. But right now it is in beta testing.
You could probably catch us during test streams too.
Yeah, we'll let you know when we test stream. And that is everything.
Great. So thank you guys very much for joining us for this episode.
Yep.
Victoria, thank you for joining us. It was good to see you again.
You guys too. I miss you guys.
Yeah,
I miss you too.
But right now with you guys, we will have you listen to us next time. And we will sign off the only way we know how.
Okay,
bye.
Our fan Sean Waller sent us the Chinese bootleg of Harry Potter, and the Chinese bootleg of Harry Potter has English subtitles on it.
Okay.
They translated I am Lord Voldemort. I am Fody. like and then Fody killed my parents. Like Lord Voldemort, they just translated to Fody. Like it was just,
oh god.
And then I don't know what they're talking about here, but like half of them are. He called me Melon. Dirty name of my melon father. You dirty melon. There is no nope for the melons.
Oh my god.
There is a melon dying. Fody killed my parents. I am Fody.
Melon must be muggle.
Oh, yeah, that actually makes sense, yeah. Okay.
You almost made me and Ron get fired. Hoglouse cannot exist without you.
Hoglouse?
go, the weapon, go. Yeah,
they are all melons. Wicked,
hey! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.